The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Rahapo podcast, where today we're going to specifically talk about Season 5, Episode 9, a.k.a. The Spicy Six, with a little sprinkle of the sing-along, because the sing-along is essentially a little sprinkle of clues and that's it. Nothing else needs to be mattering. Little do even. I am your host, Puya the Tripod Zanvikili, and you know me, I never do this alone, could never do this alone. I have my co-pilot here with me. Let me put them under the mind reader and figure out what their name is for this episode recap. There we go. It's Liana the Sausage Roll, Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Oh my gosh, when you were going to put me under the mind reader, I thought about just yelling hot dog, because you know how it's just like a random thing that was in their brain? Mm-hmm. That's so funny. You picked sausage roll, I picked hot dog. Yeah, aw, I mean, look at us.
I genuinely read your mind there. Yeah.
That's cute.
We're in sync, and no, I don't mean Lance Bass. How are you doing today, Liana?
Yeah, I'm good. This episode was really just a roller coaster of emotion for me. I feel like my whole worldview of who I thought the top three were going to be just got like completely, not completely shattered, but I just felt like everybody did so good, but some were better than others. And I'm sure the decision should.
What are you, Sean? The decision was very difficult. I'm Sean Connery. Yeah.
And maybe he'll be on next. Is he dead? Is he alive?
He'll be in heaven's edition of the Masked Singer, Liana.
Oh gosh. Anyway, moving on.
Every season, there's at least one person you do not know has left
track.
Us.
I don't know. Anyway, whatever. But the good news is I still have three in the draft, and you have two. Although I feel like you have two like bangers on your team. So.
Oh yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I'm excited to talk about this though.
Yeah, top of the hour. Let me just say, I am very sad doing this episode. I really am. I'm distraught. When I saw the unmasking, my whole world came crashing down. It was brutal, and we'll talk all about it. Okay, but let's go from to lighthearted stuff in the beginning. Liana, I'm going to attempt to sum up everything that happened in the sing-along in 60 seconds.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited. Do you want me to time you?
Yes.
Or do you have a timer? You
hold the timer up so that it also makes an alert when I'm done or when I don't have time.
When you're done. Oh, wait. Yeah, hold on.
I'm giving it 60 seconds, minute rice style, and then we're going to move on to episode 9, talk about the main show.
Okay. NGOG's not going to get mad at us for this, right?
No, this isn't like, this is not an important thing.
This is the Garner minute.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. I'm ready. 1 minute on the clock. You ready?
Okay. Yes.
All right. 3, 2.
Wait.
What?
Are you gonna hit start at one, or are you gonna hit say go then hit start?
I was gonna hit say go and then hit start. Does that make
sense? We're on the same page. That's what I wanted. Okay. Cool.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1. Go.
So the sing-along episode happened last week. The Cloodledoo comes on and says, we're getting extra clues tonight. Everyone's going to get an extra clue. And oh, by the way, I'm also going to reveal a huge secret tonight. Okay, cool, whatever. Nick Cannon comes on and says, best love song category. Names the nominees. Black Swan wins that. The next thing we get is an exclusive Black Swan clue. There's the focus on the globe. Montana, we already know that. The Hannah Montana clue, easy pickings. We move on. Then most powerful mask journey award goes to the crab. We see some funny scenes in the back. Most entertaining train wreck was the raccoons award. Most emotional performance goes to the piglet. Then we got an exclusive clue. And then the most rebellious character was the grandpa monster. Of course, you already knew this. Best John Legend cover by a cyborg covered in something was Robopine. Yes, the awards were ridiculous. Best rock performance goes to Orca. The masking for best pop song goes to the Russian Dolls. And then I'm going to ignore all the other rewards and just say that the Cloodledoo had a clue about themselves. That was the important thing here. And basically, Cloodledoo's identity is linked to a former person who competed, and that is the Gremlin, aka Mickey Rourke.
It's the thing's not making sound. Beep, 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 beep.
That's all I wanted to do. We're done.
Oh. All right. Look at you. Congratulations. How do you feel?
I feel fine. Did any of the information come across? That's what I.
Yeah, I think so. Come on. That's what you need to know. That's the. Sure.
I will say my 1.5 to 2x people out there are going to have a struggle with that minute, but we'll be fine. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. No, I appreciated the brevity.
Brevity. Okay, cool. Sounds good. All right. Shall we move on and talk about The Spicy Six, a.k.a. Episode 9.
Ooh, The Spicy Six, a.k.a. Episode 9. Yeah, let's dig in. I think, I really like these episodes where there's six performances because they kind of like they got to pack it in. Not a lot of room for fluff. So I think we should do the exact same thing. Pack it in, baby.
Pack it in. Yeah, so we're told at the beginning that they're going to be taking off masks this time around. So before we even dive into the first clue package, how did you feel about this new way to do the clues, which was essentially, hey, take your mask off and put your feet on the table? Like, it really, what did you think about that move?
It was definitely weird seeing the costumes without, like, the headpiece thing. Like, that was super weird because, for example, the piglet, it kind of looked like a thumb, like it was like a thumb head. It was weird. It was completely disproportional and I hated it very much.
Yeah, the piglet's head was too small for that costume without the mask. Yeah, it was very weird. Because for me, it's like they took it off. And then when they said we're going to take it off, I thought, oh, are we going to get like physical clues? No, it was essentially just a metaphor for we're going to ask you questions from behind like a producer's. And we're like, how are you doing? How are you feeling about all this? Like it was more of a raw moment with them rather than any clue, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were a few moments that were potentially clues. Like they definitely did the shots of, you know, like the five ice cream cones for the Yeti or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was just a sit down, a chit chat, an interview, a talking head, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So then do you want to just dive right in, waste no time, skate right into the Yeti's clue package here?
Yeah, this was cute because this is the whole thing about how he's just a family Yeti and he didn't find purpose until he became a dad. Like I said, the five ice cream cones, the pacifier, the panda bear. It was like really sweet. And then, of course, there was a complete tonal shift into the song performance, but that was just a little bizarre.
Yeah, I so with the clue package, let's see, what did I gather here? So he talks about connecting with the music, big family Yeti, the five ice cream cones. Again, you have mentioned at this point, do I want to say that that has the link to B2K? It is possible. B2K, how many members were there in B2K? There's four. So that doesn't have anything to do with it. We move on.
There's four of them.
Yeah, exactly. So five ice cream cones means nothing.
Does he have five kids?
Why did I go to B2K first?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Let's see. And looking at his family, he has two children. So no, does not have five kids. Has five albums.
Oh.
Five studio albums, five solo albums. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. I'm sure that's exactly what it is.
This really screams I'm trying to fit it into a box, which is not good. Has done five tours titled Scream Tour. Scream Tour 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I really have to bring this up. This was under the Black Swans, like, after the performance or whatever, but I think it's applicable right now in general throughout the entire show. When Robin Thicke called out the how stretchy the clues are, because there was the whole one about there was the thing for New Hampshire, and then it was like, oh, if she's driven through New Hampshire, it counts. That's exactly what we do. That's exactly what's happening. And I thought that was so funny that he pointed it out, because it's exactly this thing with the ice cream cones. It's like five kids. No, he's got five albums. They've done five. Yeah. Sure. That fits. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, like, yeah, I don't know why they're ice cream cones, but like, yeah, fine.
He once met Lou Bega at in an elevator. Like, it really doesn't need much.
He bought an ice cream cone from a vendor on the street. He one time went to an ice cream truck and bought five ice creams. Like, I don't know.
Have you ever eaten five ice creams in a day?
Ooh, in a day?
Yeah.
Well, it depends, because if you define a serving of ice cream, it's like only a half a cup. And I for sure eat at least like 2 to 3 servings of ice. Yeah. Look on the packaging. It's just
No. Terrifying. I'm not trying to disagree with you on the serving size. Like, I agree. It's
Are you talking about cones, like straight cones of ice cream? No, but I could.
No. Yeah. So I'm talking. So for me, a unit in this instance is a cone or a stick of, or like an ice cream sandwich, like. A tub of ice cream would count as one unit, like whatever that container itself.
Ice cream sandwich, maybe. I may have eaten five ice cream sandwiches in one day.
You like, for some reason, the number 3 comes to mind. I don't think I've gone beyond 3 in a like morning to night day before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why did we talk about ice cream somewhat recently or no?
Who, like us?
Yeah.
For what purpose?
Why do I remember looking up an ice cream truck's ice creams? What did I do that?
I have
with?
No
Never
idea
mind.
What I
don't know.
Is this might have been
on, was it on a stream? I don't know. I just it took me somewhere. Okay.
It takes two to make a it
What?
I don't know. I was trying to think of a parody of the Rob Bass song that the Yeti does, but then I couldn't think of one. And now I've ruined everything.
You've not ruined anything. Let's talk about that song that you tried to segue from.
The Razzle Dazzle. Did you like it? I bet you liked it.
I loved this performance. The Yeti is coming through like a whole winner to me, genuinely. Mm-hmm. Like, the Yeti gave us everything you need in a performance and more. Because here's what I loved. Oh, I'm so happy. Here's what I loved about it. So first of all, we know the Yeti can sing. We've seen it already. We've heard it. Mm-hmm. The Yeti has moved us. Phenomenal. And then the Yeti came in here and said, this is going to be my razzle dazzle side that they're going to see. Mm-hmm. Comes in, hits us with a little bit of rap, hits us with some slow-mo walk dancing, crowd engagement style movements, then the solo bit. Top to bottom, phenomenal. This is why I'm sad, but I'm not feeling like I'm out of the competition, because I think Yeti has a seat in the final three. It's just a matter of who are the other two people joining the Yeti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this performance really solidified for me how strong of a competitor the Yeti is. I think the Yeti is the only wild card left, correct?
Yes, because it was the orca, the whale, and the
crab. So
the crab, and then the Nick Cannon.
Oh, Nick, that's it. Doesn't count. I mean, it definitely feels like the Yeti here is the one that if they're going to try to do the thing where there's one from each group in the final three, like one from group A, one from group B, and one wild card, it's 100% it's the Yeti, because it has to be, because the Yeti's the only wild card left. But like, I think the Yeti deserves it, right? It's justifiable and understandable why the Yeti would end up making it to the final three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this like got me dancing in my seat. He did the splits. Like, that was such a show. I was stunned, razzle-dazzled away, and of course enjoyed the singing performance as well. So I felt like this just all came together for a really great show.
Yeah, like, has anyone made their costume seem like it weighs nothing the way the Yeti has now? 2 weeks in a row, we've seen rollerblading, we've seen like high-key, like high-volume dancing, and then we saw splits. This costume, it's as if he's not wearing a costume.
Yeah, which is funny because we got to see him without the helmet and you can see how massive that thing is, because when you see his tiny little head, it's just like, oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, but like his feet seem tiny, but then the top body's massive.
Yeah, like the big shoulder things, too. It's just, yes, very, very large.
Very large indeed. You know what else was large? The judges' thoughts on the Yeti. No, I'm not even going to edit this, but you know what else was large? The mind reader device. So they come through with this mind. I'm not editing this. This came through. They're reading minds. They got this big machine thing that's coming through. What did you think about this yet another innovative way to figure out what these clues are?
Yeah, I'm cool with it. I thought this one was funny. I liked how the first one was corn. It was like, corn? I don't remember eating corn. I made myself laugh.
Why? What does that mean?
I don't want to explain it on a podcast. Can I explain it later?
Ew! Is it something gross?
No! Yeah, maybe. It's just because corn sometimes doesn't get fully digested.
So that means to tell me, what do you think the corn clue means? All right.
It said corn popped into my mind. So I think the real clue is popped.
We're right? finding ourselves in quite the kernel right now.
Oh, no. And then when, oh my gosh. The moment I died in this episode, because you know how I feel about teeth. When Ken brought up the Jason Derulo thing, I about died. That's when I had that audible reaction. You ran in the room thinking that I was like hurt or something.
Yeah, I thought you fell.
Yeah. That's it. Oh, it was bad. I did not respond well to that.
You like shooed me out of the room because you were watching the episode and I hadn't yet. Uh-huh. And then when I watched the episode, I knew exactly when I walked in was when the Jason Derulo thing comes up. Yeah. So don't love that. We don't love that. We don't love that. But what happens next? What happens next is that we're going to look at these judges' guesses, Liana. Did any of them stick out to you?
No. I didn't write any of them down. I was still shaking from the whole thing, the whole teeth thing.
So we haven't talked about our guest judge yet, and this is the perfect time to bring her in. Chrissy Metz, are you familiar with her work?
Okay, I 100% kept forgetting that she was there. Is that bad? I've never seen This Is Us, and I'm sure she's Emmy nominated or whatever, so I'm sure she does great work. I'm not going to disparage her. She's fine. But like, I appreciated the brevity, and they even made comments about it of like, she would just come in and be like, this person, okay, like maybe this person, the end. But then she was never really on screen, so I kept forgetting that she was there. So does that make you an effective guest when I forget that you're the guest?
Yeah, so for me, I also am not familiar with her work, which I think is criminal at this point, because I loved her this episode. She wasn't, here's the thing. She wasn't overbearing like the other guest judges are.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we kept forgetting her. And especially with Rita Wilson rapping and having the horrible guesses last time around, the huge comparison immediately is, wow, these are two completely different guest judges. And here's the thing. I liked her guesses. I thought she had very good guesses throughout the episode. So it was a welcome change. Even though I recognize that when you bring on a guest, the whole point is the guest is supposed to stand out, I guess, a little bit. But I was very happy with the way this worked. It was like probably the most low-key guest spot we've had this season, maybe ever on the show.
Well, yeah, but that's the whole thing, is that it was so low-key, I kept forgetting she was there, which I guess is a good thing.
She's not taken away from the show. I think the other thing is, though, it was a very strong episode too. So,
tough because there's so much to get to.
Exactly.
Six performances. So yeah, it's tough. Yeah,
you're trying to shove six performances into what, about 42, 43 minutes. It's a long order, but no, I thought she did well. Her guesses here were Trey Songz or Miguel. It's closer. That's a closer guess than frickin' Vin Diesel as the Yeti. And here's the thing. Cannon kept gassing up Ken like it was a viable option. I was like, stop lying to him.
Like the poor man.
Yeah. Stop lying to your son like this. Yeah, so that was a thing that happened. But then, is there anything else that you want to talk about with regards to the Yeti
Or are you going to let me segue us to the next performer?
Well, if you're ready. Oh, wait. Ready, then we can. I will let you. I give up. I couldn't think of a word for like lead to bring, guide, guide. Liana,
can you name an instrument that starts with the letter O?
An elbow.
Damn, that rhymes with Robopine came in next. And here's the thing with Robopine. Robopine leaves this episode. And that crushed me. I was dumbfounded. Well, we'll get there. So the Robopine's clue package comes in. And the Robopine talks about how the things we might not know about them. Their family was on food stamps. And then they never forget the specific school field trip they were on. The couple of the visual clues were grade AA butter. And then also there was jam. I didn't get much from this clue package, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, especially, look, did I go Google a bunch of stuff and try to check them? No, I did not. But I didn't do the work, all right? I just didn't.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Oh, the big overarching clue here, though, to me was the friend passing away, which was...
Oh, yes.
Paul Walker.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the one that actually, like, as soon as he started talking about that, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, like, for sure.
Yeah, which I do like that they one of the judges later brings up the roller coaster behind the Robopine being a nod to the Fast and Furious ride, which exists, which I did not know about. So I think that made sense to me ultimately as well. But then, yeah, absolutely. So do you want to talk to me about this performance, Liana? What did you think of the performance done by Robopine?
Yeah. So I thought that this performance was good. I think one of the issues that the Robopine had, though, is that he kind of painted himself into a corner in terms of the types of performances. Even Robin, after the performance, talks about how, like, yeah, you're really good at bringing the ballads, you know, and this was a ballad and he has done ballads in the past. And it doesn't take away from the actual performance. But when you... to push through, you need to be able to have more variety. And I felt like the Robopine kind of dropped the ball a little bit here by picking something that was kind of in the same vein as other performances that he's done before.
So, yeah, it's interesting because I'm the one who has talked about how Razzle Dazzle is important. Mm-hmm. I had chills listening to this performance, literal chills, Liana. And I'm so sad we lost Robopine, but 100% the point you're making makes sense to me. I couldn't figure out why, but that makes sense to me that it's the balladness of it all. And I haven't watched the unmasked interview they did with Tyrese, but Tyrese comes back to the music scene and just proves once again, I can sing. You know, I might be in the Fast and Furious friend, but I can still bring it. And Tyrese brought it. So I really enjoyed this performance. I really loved the song choice. And I was sad to see him go. I was sad.
Oh, I know it's sad for you. But so when I got to the end of the episode and I was trying to predict, it was before they did the reveal, and I was trying to predict who they were going to send home. I went to Robopine because of that. I was like, Robopine or the Russian dolls. Like, to me, it was between those two for who I thought was going to go home.
There were three in my short list. There were three. Robopine was third on my list. I thought it was between the Piglet or the Russian dolls, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Piglet probably would have been the last one. I mean, I just which thought is, there was no way wow. There was no way the Yeti was going to go. I thought that, well, yeah, anyway.
We'll get, but, and then so the I point, know exactly what you want to talk about.
Is,
we'll
the there. Point is that I, as much as you love the Robopine and as strong as you responded to the performance, I do feel like it was at least in the bottom half.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I think you agreed with as well.
Yeah. I mean, when I first heard like the first four performers, I was like, well, no one's going home tonight. This is way too good of a night. But I think we were damned by having arguably, I'd be willing to say the best final six we've had on any season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't want anybody to go.
No, I've never felt that way before. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I will gladly take a golden ear point here with the vaulted guess of Tyrese. I will take that. That is good. So I'm happy with this.
Who did I guess? I'm sure someone terrible and not even close.
So let's quickly look back at our stuff. So you had Logan and I had Tyrese, right? We're 1-1 now.
I think so.
Yeah, because I don't think Nick came and went before we even got a chance. Okay.
When did Robopine show up? Which episode was the Robopine?
Robopine was the premiere. Robopine was the last performer in the premiere, I'm pretty sure.
I didn't even write one down. So. Good job, me.
Well, made it a little bit easier.
All right. So let's move.
We get put into the mind reader. The light bulb is what they show us. We later find out Watts is the connection there. It's a good connection right there. Mm-hmm. Jenny McCarthy says Usher. Okay, that works. Nicole was on one, though. She got it. Tyrese. And then Chrissy mentions Tank. And then we had a little segment where they talked about, what do you think would be on your mind? And they kind of had a back and forth. Nicole brings up margaritas. And then somehow the piglet finds a way to use this as a segue into their clue package, which I felt was a reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a reach at best.
What's on your mind right now, Liana?
Vampire teeth.
Is it because you were looking at your clue package notes?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us more about the clue package then.
Okay, so piglet. This was an interesting story about learning about Nick Lachey's frat days when he shaved his head for a party and realized that he had a birthmark shaped like an apple on his head. Didn't know that, so that was fun. And then, like, the girl he was into said, well, anyway, whatever, you watched the episode, or maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't watch the episode. Anyway, it was a weird story. But I learned that Nick Lachey was in a frat. That was news to me, although, you know, I could have guessed it. What else did I see? Vampire teeth, 4 gold bars, which I assume stands for his 4 children. JK, it's probably records or some nonsense. There was also the 5 numbers. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But 1 was, like, standing up, and then 2, 3, 4, 5 is on the ground. That's a thing.
I would argue that's the last one standing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. 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 I think they even said that. Like, one of the judges said that.
No, I said that. Please.
No, I said that. Liana Claire Boris, the last one standing.
I believe it's Liana the sausage roll Boris, but continue. Mm.
Hot dog.
Okay. So now tell me a little bit more about the performance. What did you think of the Phil Collins tune that was played?
I did think that this was one of his stronger performances out of the performances that he's done so far. I thought the choice of Against All Odds by Phil Collins was really good. And I thought that it kind of works with the breathiness that he brings and the deeper tone compared to what Phil Collins brought. I thought it was really great. The best, like I said, the best of, I think, of his ballad performances. Mm-hmm. So this, because I had put the piglet on, like, oh, maybe could go in the 6th slot, like Chameleon, Piglet, Russian Dolls, I think were like maybe in my sort of like bottom half. But then when this happened, I was like, oh, God, this is so competitive.
Yeah, I genuinely thought, OK, we're going to, like, didn't matter who was leaving. We were going to get sad about it. Actually, there was one performer that could have left. That would have been OK. But we'll get there later. So I really liked this performance. I thought it was great. It was fun. I cannot with this costume. Literally bottom tier costume for the show ever. Which maybe now that we've been through 5 seasons, maybe that's a thing we do at some point.
For tier like an off season costumes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot though.
I mean, there's what? Oh, about 100. No, not 100, but like 60 ish.
I don't know, bro. Math is hard.
Maths is hard. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But that could be fun. Yeah, no, I thought this was fun. I thought the the piano, I like the simplicity of the background too. The piano player was a good addition. I couldn't figure out if the piano player was a sunny side up egg or a flower. I'm leaning towards flower because there were flowers in the piano, but it kind of looked like a sunny side up egg, which I didn't think was good. If you think about it. So yeah. Interesting indeed. So then we get to the judges, and I feel like the judges like the piglet quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Nicole says that the piglet wants it the most. And then we do. So I have to ask you at this point, we've made it about 30 minutes into this pod before talking about it. What are your thoughts about the Cloodle dude just getting involved with everything?
How dare he? The fact, well, okay. All right. Hold on. Multiple thoughts. So first of all, it's interesting who they choose to get sort of these like extra clues, because the piglet, like, was an odd choice. I feel like why the piglet? What did the piglet do to get the special Cloodle Doo clue? And also Cloodle Doo just like inserting himself everywhere where he like, I don't know. I feel like Cloodle Doo is, he's doing his takeover and I guess that's cool, but he just seems like a villain, but he's also trying to help us. I don't know. It's just like, I can't wrap my hand around the Cloodle Doo.
It's confusing. And I think that's the big takeaway, is that this is confusing. And it's too much. Honestly, like, the show's silly and I love the silly, but the Cloodle Doo is a mess. I don't like that the Cloodle Doo can just insert himself wherever he wants. Who are you? And I liked, so Robin's joke was both, I liked it, but it was also grim.
Oh, yeah, he was going to kill him and fry him.
He literally said, I'm about to cook this chicken. And I thought, hey, relax.
You can't murder him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that was like a little terrifying.
Was he putting, what, Frank's Red Hot on the chicken? I thought, there's better stuff you could do.
Where did he get the chicken?
This is a great question.
That's all I want to know.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out if it was like proper chicken or not, too.
It looked like they got KFC and then they just covered up the they taped up the sides.
Right. It looked like the top of the chicken was like the top piece was a real piece, but I think the bottom.
Oh,
were
you
not.
Think it was fake? You think? Well, he ate some of it, which I thought was a choice.
I mean, he had a bite, right?
I feel like he was chewing more than that. Well, whatever. Anyway, he took a bite, which means that at least some of it was real.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the Cloodle. I hate this. I hate
saying
this. So the rooster says that the piglet caught a touchdown from Dan Marino. Do you know who this is? I'm assuming you probably know who this is.
Yeah, the quarterback for the Dolphins.
Why do you say like this as if you do not know that I was not raised in North America and do not have much knowledge about American football?
I know. It's weird because some things you know, though.
His career ended in 2000. I was 8.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but maybe so, he like pops up, you know, he pops up in places. He's like in movies and stuff. He was in the roast of Larry the Cable Guy, you know? He was in a little.
Oh, I have watched that. No, I have not watched the roast. That's the one roast I haven't watched because I don't know Larry the Cable Guy. So it wouldn't hit for me.
But see, he's like around, like doing stuff. He's notable, a notable person.
So, okay.
What's that thing in New Haven where it's what are they called? The notable people in New Haven, they have those posters up. You know what I'm talking about? The one where Paul Giamatti is on the.
Yeah, the New Haven Notables.
New Haven Notables, yeah.
What is the thing that's like notable and it's also New Haven? Like, it's both notable and New Haven. I can't quite figure out what that might be called. You know
what's that? There's like a name for it. It's like a very specific name. And there's alliteration. It's like New Haven and it's like also notable.
Who's that person whose name is Liana, but then I think like, is their other name Boris? Like, I'm not sure. How would you say that?
How dare you?
Ridiculous.
Oh, my side hurts. Oh, stop.
So, do you know who else's side hurts? The person who Dan Marino threw a ball to if they couldn't catch it.
Nick Lachey.
Oh. Yeah, so what does that mean? Like, they played ball. Like, does Nick Lachey have a history in football?
No, there was like some celebrity football game because I remember because Nick Cannon was also there, like hosted or something. And so that's why after that clue, Nick Cannon was like, oh, I know who this is. Because they were like all there. Doing that thing.
Oh, yeah. I found a picture of it.
See, told
it's
you.
It's Dan Marino, Nick Lachey, and who's this third person? It's from 2004. And pro football player Tony Gonzalez posts at MTV's Rockin' Jock Super Bowl.
Rockin' Jock, baby. Rockin' Jock. Oh, that's a horrible name.
Yeah, who else was here? I'm going to search this up real quick.
I'll rock your jack.
What?
I don't know.
I literally said I don't want to edit this podcast. You're going to make me edit some stuff out of the podcast.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's cool. It's like,
oh, yeah, that's the part I'm not worried about, is that everyone got the inappropriate comment.
No, it's not, it's not inappropriate. It's
well,
not
it is now.
It's only inappropriate if you make it inappropriate.
And I just did. It's too late now. Now I have
how
to.
Dare you. How dare
I mean, you? I don't know, maybe. Okay, so you want to know the team names?
For who? Oh, for the Rockin' Jocks.
Yeah, yes. So for the Rockin' Jock football game, it was the Aardvarks versus the Salamanders.
Who named them?
That's I do not know.
Why?
So, on the Aardvarks, you had some celebrities similar to, or actually named, Bret Michaels was on this team.
Bret Michaels was there?
Yes.
Oh, dude, nice.
Belinda Carlisle was there.
Okay, okay.
MC Hammer was also on the Aardvarks.
Yeah, so, okay, so this, look. This is like the surreal life reality TV VH1 level celebrities is what I'm hearing.
Although yeah, well, you want to know who else was on this team?
Who?
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, damn. Okay, so they got some pull. Although, was this the time when he like wasn't working and was just like memeing with people on the internet?
Well, in this description, he is credited for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, all right. Wait.
Is this pre-Matrix? Yeah, why wouldn't he...
No, The Matrix was in like 1999.
No, The Matrix was 2001.
Okay, well, yeah, but either way, this was before 2004. 1999. Oh, it was 1999. Boom,
The Matrix. Listen, I've not watched The Matrix. What do you want from me?
Huh. Take that.
Okay, so do you want to know who was on the Salamanders now, real quick?
Okay.
And then we'll go back to whatever we're podcasting. Yes, that's what was happening. So on this team, Akiva's friend Kevin Costner was on the Salamanders.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Kip Winger of the band Winger was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Robin Zander, lead singer of Cheap Trick, on this team. On the other team, you had the bass player of Cheap Trick, Tom Peterson.
Oh, all right. So got a little rivalry going there.
A little bit. Wait, so where is... I don't see Nick Lachey's name anywhere here. Did this happen...
Well, his picture was taken.
Whatever. You know what? I read one of the competitions that happened. Okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, there were more teams.
Oh, my God. All right. No one cares. Let's move on.
Oh, I read the one for 1990. I don't know which year was he in.
Oh, then that makes sense why Keanu Reeves was credited for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Oh, yes. Then that actually changes the caliber of the celebrities.
Yeah, yeah, because literally in 1991, Will Smith was on one of these teams, as was Magic Johnson, Reggie Miller.
Okay, all right, let's move on. Let's move on.
Well, this is interesting, but we don't have time. I don't know
what you're doing in your free time. Yeah, I don't know what you're doing here.
I'm not going to do it in my free time. But anyways, Taylor Lautner and Robert Pattinson come up just because of the vampire teeth, which I thought, come on, you can do better than this.
You can do better than this. Come on.
Why are you just copying what I'm saying?
Huh?
Exactly. Liara, who did Nicole guess?
Bruh, I didn't write it down.
See, you need me.
I do need you. That's why I don't take whatever.
Brian Luttrell. Or Nick Lachey, one of the two.
Yeah. I mean, Nicole's been on fire. I kind of blame Nicole a little bit for the Tyrese Gibson. Like, she guessed him and then he went home. So I blame Nicole.
Yeah, you think the minute they guess there's a guy in the side with an earpiece that just pulls up his collar and he's like,
send him home.
You gotta get him out. Get him out. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All righty, then. We now go to the water and visit your favorite of mine, the Black Swan. Liana, take it away.
All right. So, yeah, the Black Swan. So it was interesting because the first like two clue packages were very like intense and sweet, because the Yetis was like about his family and the Robopine was about, you know, someone that they lost. And then the pig was like, I shaved my head. And then the Black Swans was just like nothing. Right. It was a little bit of like, oh, you know, I struggled growing up, that kind of stuff. But otherwise, I didn't get a whole lot from it. In terms of the visual clues, it was like umbrella, the My Little Pony, the baby, the Adam drawing thing, the thing with New Hampshire, and then like pop soda or whatever. Those are like the main visual clues I took away.
Pop soda is just pop, right? That's what it is.
Pop soda, Coke, you know what I'm saying.
Easy pickings.
Easy pickings.
Yeah, so she's from Brattleboro, Vermont.
I drove through Brattleboro has one of my favorite gas stations in that entire trip that I took up to see you. It's the one with the sandwiches that I like. I miss that. Like, dude, those, whatever. You know what? That's not important. Move on.
The way it's to me, it's the way you like, up this as if it's some grand, like, oh my god, that's where the 2018 Super Bowl happened. No, that's where they had the tuna sandwich that I liked when I drove to see you.
It was an egg salad sandwich.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which is probably the worst decision anyone could make ever. But it was really good. And the gas attendants were always super nice to me. And that was where actually, I think Joey bought the scratch offs when we were driving up. Do you remember that one time? And I cashed in the scratch because they were Vermont scratch offs. And so I had to cash them in specifically in Vermont. And that was where I cashed it in, at that exact station. Anyway, whatever. That, again, we're on so many tangents here. But the Black Swan.
I need people to know Liana was very upset when she would be on the drive back and she'd go to this gas station and they didn't have the sandwich. She would be very upset. Like, actually upset.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating.
Neither here nor there.
Well, let's go and talk about the Black Swan.
Okay.
See, that rhymed, if you think about it.
Okay, I just need to jump in here, because this is where I'm saying that versatility is key, because I feel like the Black Swan, unlike the Robopine, has just been doing everything. And Ken or Robin, one of them points it out too, so I felt like validated by the judges, because she chose a Stevie Wonder song, and I think what it emphasizes is how versatile and strong her voice is, that she can do so many different artists and so many different songs and be killing it every week.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I believe it was Robin who was a big, like, he was the one, I think, who bigged her up in the comments, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, I thought this was good. I thought as far as Razzle Dazzle goes, it had very good motif with all the hearts and the red and the white. I loved all of that. Phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. The dancers, I thought, were a good touch. They weren't overbearing. They weren't randomly, like, standing out because of the weird mask or anything. So that was good. And I thought the song performance was amazing as well. I feel good about the Black Swan. I think if, you know, earlier I said the Yeti in the top three, I feel comfortable stamping the Black Swan's ticket to the final three as well. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel confident about that, and I felt confident about that for a while, and this performance just solidified that for me.
Yeah. Okay, so then we're on the same page, which makes me very happy. So I will say I do not know what the Mariah Carey mind reader clue means outside of it being a funny segment to poke fun at Nick Cannon.
Oh, no. So the clue actually comes from when she was talking about it afterwards. This one I knew because
she passed her, something.
Yes, exactly. Because Mariah's album was on the charts, and when her album came out, it passed Mariah. So that was, like,
cool.
That makes more sense.
Cool. Okay. Thank you for that, Liana. I appreciate
that. You're welcome. Edumacational.
Yeah. Very nice. Thank you.
Very nice.
Alrighty. So, as far as the guesses go, Chrissy brings up Christina Milian. I feel like we've said this before. I'm going to say it again. Should be on The Masked Singer at some point. Mm-hmm. Great artist. Mandy Moore, I could see on The Masked Singer as well, potentially. Good artist. If someone else brings up Kesha one more time, yeah. Kesha has to be a name on the jar now.
Jar.
Jar. Very jar. Very All right. Jar. Now, I know with the Masked Singer podcast, we put a thing inside a thing and then another thing, and then we present three things and we fall out of a tangent. But let's take three things out of this one and call it a Russian doll, because that's the next performer that we have here. So the Russian dolls have the masks off. They talk about it's just the two of us here. Do you feel lied to every time the Russian dolls speak?
Lies. I mean, the thing is that then it was, and I think I speak for all of us when. Ooh. So, like, that's the way of getting around. Like, see, I speak for all of us. Mm-hmm. Even though there's only two of us, I speak for all of us. Whatever. There's three of you.
I don't like them.
I know you don't like them.
And like, that's not to take away from the fact that I thought this performance was good. This is the one we saw preseason. This is the one that I sent to you and Mike Bloom on Twitter mm-hmm. in the preseason because I saw it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's a good performance. It's a very nice song. Very good tune. I would argue no Razzle Dazzle. They've had one Razzle Dazzle performance, and that was the Bruno Mars song they did. Mm-hmm. So I still get creeped out by the Russian dolls' masks. But that's mm-hmm. fine. Ultimately, for me, this wasn't in the top half of the night, mm-hmm. but it was a good song.
I mean, the thing is like they can't really have Razzle Dazzle because they're just little lumps. You know what I mean? They're just lumps that move around the stage, and one of them, the mouth opens, and then they've got little arms. So, like, they're already limited. So, I don't know. Yeah, part of me was like, this is like the true test of whether or not strong vocals can outwin any type of movement, I guess. And because that's the thing is that, you know, this song obviously strong focus on the vocals, but they can't do anything. So amazing singers. I will give them that. And it was interesting to hear Robin be like, I think you just punched your ticket to the finals, I think. Is that what he said?
Can I
hear? What?
Can I be honest? With how much they keep saying game changer, game changer, I'm very worried we're going into a Russian doll win. And
no!
I'm not okay with it. Because what's more game changer than
like three winners
get crowned under one? Or ooh, we'll find out how many people are here. I'm very worried that this is a thing that's going to happen.
Don't put that out in the universe, please.
I mean, I'm just worried.
Stop.
I'm just worried. I know. I don't want it. Clearly, Russian Dolls is the one I would like not in the running at this point.
Yeah.
But genuinely, with how much they've said game changer, because what else is a game changer? A wild card winning, potentially? That is the only other thing I can think of that's like, ooh, yeah, like someone that didn't start the season ended up winning. Like something like that could happen. Or, ooh, we've never had a rapper win if like the Chameleon wins. Or, ooh, like I don't know what else could happen.
I mean, I've done a lot of game-changing stuff. I'm kind of hoping that that's where it ends.
I'm hoping the game-changing part of the game-changing is the game-changing that's happening with all the new innovative ways they're doing the clue stuff, or the fact that the clue it'll do is a game-changer and giving us exclusive clues, or the game-changing fact that Robin literally said he would cook the chicken. So I will take any of those as opposed to the Russian dolls winning, but I'm very worried. I really, really am. Because, and despite the fact that I believe one of the judges guessed what you've been saying all along, that Hansen
is
the group you've mentioned.
They've been guessing Hansen. Yeah, for like 2 weeks now, they've been guessing Hansen.
Right. So to me, that is a little bit of a concern. Or that would be
Said, okay, no one said JoJo. Have they said Omarion?
They've not said either JoJo or Omarion. I think they brought up, one of them brought up Wiz at one point, but not again.
Oh, but I think it was Robin, and then he like quickly passed over it or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
you know what? It was kind of a yada yada guess. It could be Wiz, but also, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I thought my favorite part was with the clues was Robin bringing up the walk and then doing a walk. That was funny.
Yeah, that was actually that made me laugh.
Oh, my God. So when after the piglet performed, one of the comments Robin made was, I think the piglet's going to oink his way to the top. And I didn't clock what that was. And then I was, Oh, I've heard that phrase, but with another. Oh no!
Talk about offensive comments.
Yeah, I was like, "Bruh, what are you doing?"
He's gonna ride his jock all the way to the top.
Literally, we all forgot about that. I wasn't gonna edit this podcast, and then you said, "Hey, please remember that
it's
thing."
Fine, it's fine. It's just move on. When you make it a big deal, it becomes a big deal. It's not a big deal.
I'm not removing it.
Okay, yeah, well, look, Robin Thicke is the one who said he's gonna oink his way to the top.
Yeah, and I thought for every walk, there is an oink.
You know what? The same person editing The Masked Singer is the same person as you who is like, I'm not going to edit it. I'm just going to leave it in.
They're like, fine. They know. They know what's going on.
I need to grab a few more seconds in another clip. It's fine. That's fine.
It's okay. But yeah, okay. So then we get to the last performer of the evening. And that is the chameleon. Let me walk you through my feelings, okay? So for me, I have been worried about the chameleon ever since we did our draft because I recognize that the chameleons for me, the chameleons all razzle dazzle. The chameleon does, you know, the nostalgic stuff that I like, the rap that I like. And I've been worried of, okay, you're going to have a tough time because similarly to the frog, you're focusing on the nostalgia rap. But then unlike the frog, you don't have the dancing razzle dazzle. So I've been worried that the chameleon's days are numbered. Let me tell you, I thought the chameleon had a top three performance tonight.
Oh, Sam
killed it. And
yeah,
here's where all my excitement comes in. I recognize the song because you know who he did. He did Busta Rhyme, and that's my favorite. And the neon motif is a nod to the music video for that song. Hands Where My Eyes Can See. And I love this song so much. It's on my playlist. So the minute it came on, I was hype. And then the chameleon doesn't miss any rhymes. Hits all of them.
Yeah.
Also, if you need further confirmation that this is Wiz Khalifa, the orange slices, he has an album called Cushion Orange Juice. There you go. With the shoe, in my head, this is how the shoe clue is, okay? Bear with me. So the clue was a Jordan, right? A pair of Jordans. And then the chameleon brings up, you know, it's kind of right, but sometimes it can be left. I thought, okay, so it's close, but no cigar. So it's not Jordans I need to focus on. It's other shoes. Chuck Taylor's. Taylor Gang is the name of the group that Wiz is associated with. So there you go.
There you go. Okay. Boom. Stretch that, baby.
Oh, yeah. My back
lovely,
hurts.
Lovely.
So now you tell me. I just had to talk about how much I love this performance, but it's your turn.
No, I mean, of course, I knew that you were going to resonate with this, but for someone who this is not my preferred genre of music, if I'm going to pop on some tunes, I can still appreciate amazing artistry when I see it. Like, this is freaking impressive. It was smooth. I enjoyed it. Even Robin Thicke was doing his best white dad dancing. Like, we were all dancing and vibing to this because it was such a strong performance. I mean, he is by far like the best rap performer that we've seen on the show, hands down. And part of me wants him to be rewarded for that. Like, even though it's not my personal preference in terms of music, like, he deserves to go far. Like, this performance, this is like, oh, Chameleon, you deserve to be in the final three. You know, whether or not that's going to happen. I just feel like it's so strong. And for someone who typically doesn't succeed in this field and like do it well, that we've seen on the show, at least, I want them to be rewarded. But yeah, I loved this. I thought this was really great.
Yeah, I thought this was very good. I enjoyed it big time. It's not, as someone who listens to a lot of Busta Rhymes, Busta Rhymes is one of the faster lyricists in rapping. So to do a Busta Rhymes tune and not miss, good time. Also, again, pour one out for Busta, the dragon. We will never forget that the dragon was done dirty because the giraffe had to make it to the next round because the giraffe is the guest judge for the Masked Dancer. Whatever, we move on. I'm very annoyed. Anyways, I know. Well, no.
No. You know what I mean? Like, in the show.
Okay. Cool. Okay. I was like, wait. Mm-mm. All right. So then, next thing is the judges. So the judges, Ken guesses Young Thug. Nicole goes with Snoop, which I think is a very good guess because I know how close the two are. So it makes sense that they're going to get associate some of the clues with Snoop. It makes sense to me.
Right.
Now, we get to the end. Robopine getting unmasked. Again, big sad. Big sad this is happening. But now that we've talked through it, it kind of makes sense to me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Three judges had vaulted Jamie Foxx as the guest, Liana.
Wait, three? I thought all four of them.
No, Robin had Ginuwine.
Okay. Man. A jar.
At this point, there's no universe where Jamie's doing the show. They've guessed him too many times for Jamie to do it. Well, there's no fun. Guest,
right?
He's been a guest judge, yeah. Yeah, because to me, there's no, if it's one of those things where because he's going to get guessed a lot, he's never going to get asked to be brought up.
Mm. Okay, how about this, though? They bring him in one of those wild card slots and immediately unmask him.
No, I want Jamie Foxx to win. If he's in the show, I want him to go the distance.
I need them to stop guessing Jamie Foxx. I don't care how that happens.
But here's the thing. I know Jamie Foxx is someone who can do his, like, hide his voice very well. So I do subscribe to the school of thought that Jamie Foxx would do kind of what the Robopine was doing about, like, oh, I'm older, I'm 60, and do it well and fool them. So that's something I do think could happen potentially.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can we talk about the unmasking? Like the conversation after the unmasking? Because
yes,
there was something super interesting. And maybe I like didn't quite get it all the way, but did essentially the Robopine be like, yeah, I straight up lied to you. I had to.
Yes. I mean, the Robopine talked about, yeah, they talked about how the Robopine said that they were 60 and from Costa Rica, which wasn't the case. And then they showed like the Robopine doing like a walk. Yeah.
He like admitted to just like straight lying.
Yeah. Well, here's what I learned. I think is they can say whatever they want, but the clues don't lie. Right. I think that's the key. So what I think we're learning in the emergent gameplay of Masked Singer is you can bluff all you want about your age and stuff, but then your clue package cannot lie to us. So for example, when we saw Grandpa Monster, there was no grandpa in that costume. We know that. So, but then the grandpa comes in with the walker and like that counts as part of that. Like fibbing is fine.
So you can lie, but only certain lies are acceptable.
If clues like, oh, there was a bat because like this guy had something with a bat one time and that counts, then I think this is fair game. If they can stretch the clues, they can stretch the truth. I think that's the motto of the Masked Singer.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. And then the episode ends. And then we're going to go into the final five next week, Liana. We're going to go to the final five. Mm-hmm. Make a prediction right here. Who's going out at fifth place?
Dude, I don't even know anymore.
I have no idea either.
Did they guess Nick Lachey yet? They keep casting Hansen. I don't want to buy into your theory that...
I would love for the Russian dolls to be out next. Yes.
That would be my guess, because they've guessed Hansen now two times. Both Jenny and Nicole have said Hansen. The momentum is moving in that direction. I feel like the gimmick of it all is kind of wearing off, and I would rather see what some of the other contestants would bring. Now, that being said, on the night, if the pig has a bad performance, the chameleon has a bad performance, you know, that I could easily see them going as well. But I'm not a betting woman, but if I had to, I would say the Russian dolls.
Yeah, okay. I'll double down on that bet. Let's say that. I think that's a good idea.
Well, I'll triple down on that bet.
All right, I will quadruple down, and then I don't know the next iteration, so don't even try me.
Okay.
Okie dokie. All right, Liana. We are done here with this episode. We've predicted the outcome of the next episode. We'll be back to talk about Masked Singer all over again next week. But until then, Liana, what do you have going on? Where can people find you?
I'm straight chilling. What have I done? I did a RHAP rewind with the great, of course, Rob Shostranino and Chappelle talking about Flavor of Love, which was so incredibly fun. I really, really enjoyed it. That should be out soon. And yeah, otherwise just hanging out, waiting for RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 6 to kick off.
How soon is that going to be coming out?
Oh my God, we have no idea, because normally it's like right after. But it's going to be on Paramount Plus, first of all, which bizarre, but fine, whatever. And then Drag Race Down Under. is going on right now. So it's not like there's a Drag Race season on. It's just an international Drag Race season. But I assume All Stars will be starting out. Like, I think they're going to overlap for sure a little bit, because they overlapped Canada with All Stars 5. So I think they're going to wait for Down Under like a couple weeks and then kick off All Stars, if I had to guess.
I see. That's exciting, though. It's exciting. It's going to be there.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So the other thing is that BB Can has now ended. I talked all about the finale episode with Taryn, Melissa, and Amon over on the recap show, I guess. Yeah, that's what we would call it. I don't know why I decided to segue this way. But then also 90 Day Fiance, Happily Ever After, going strong. Two episodes in and it's been phenomenal. If you want to check that out, me and Rob got together with Sasha this week to talk all about that. And you can find me on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, at Puyaism, on twitch.tv/Puya. And this is the start of the month. It's a great time to join the Patreon group. The RHAP Patreon program offers a lot of fun features for you, included but not limited to a game night on a Friday. Now we're doing Patreon Mafia that I will be hosting. And that's a fun time. So that and many more things. Go over to robhasawebsite.com/patron and check out what you could get today. Now, this has been a fun session. So from me, Puya the Tripod Zanvakili, and Liana the Sausage Roll Boris, we wish you a good evening, a good weekend, a good week. And until the final five, I don't know what they're going to name it, the Ferocious Five potentially. Take care and have a good one. Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.